Welcome to JGL Law For You. JGL Law For You is a podcast by lawyers, but not for lawyers only. On JGL Law For You, we will be discussing a wide array of topics to help you navigate the many legal processes, developments in the law, other current events, and how they may affect you, your family, or your business.
Today we have Christopher Castellano, a partner of mine at Joseph Greenwald & Lake. Chris represents clients in Maryland and the district regarding their domestic law issues, which include custody, divorce, and modification actions. Like me, Chris encourages his clients to approach their cases with a focus on understanding foreseeable risks, determining how to mitigate those risks, and then performing a risk-reward analysis to find the most beneficial outcome of their case. Sounds pretty good, Chris. Sounds pretty good. Hope you can accomplish that each time you got somebody on board. Welcome aboard.
That's the goal. Thank you. Thank you, David.
So, Chris, everybody wants to know. We read about it. We see it in the paper. We see it in the news. Crypto. You can buy it at Safeway now, for God's sakes. We're going to talk today about crypto and what it is, how, if at all, it can be an issue in a family case. But first, let's start at the beginning. What the hell is it? Is it money? Is it sky? Is it sand? What the heck is it?
Well, it's a whole lot less available than sand, that's for sure. Cryptocurrency is, there's no other way to think about it outside of it's digital or virtual currency, right? So briefly, our currency that we're all used to, the fiat currency, the dollar, the pound, you know, the euro, whatever it may be, it's fiat currency, it's based on, and it's centralized, right? And that's what I want to focus on. It's centralized. In America, we have our fiat dollar that is based in the Federal Reserve, okay? Cryptocurrency, and when I say cryptocurrency, I mean them all. Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solarium, whatever it may be. Cryptocurrency is decentralized. There is no Federal Reserve. There is nothing like that. It is a purely decentralized virtual or digital currency that is tradable.
Why would anybody buy something that they even know what they're buying? And if it's not centralized, there's no bank. There's no, in the old days, there was a gold standard. Why would anybody, and before, I know we would talk about how it's involved in divorce, but why would anybody want to get involved in it anyway?
Well, you know, and I think that this is perhaps for a larger conversation, but at its core, people want cryptocurrency because it's decentralized, because centralization leads to control, right? And cryptocurrency has grown in popularity because it is a way that people can avoid being controlled with their money. That's the core fundamental basis of cryptocurrency.
Okay. So how, if at all, can it be an issue or a part of a divorce case?
Right. So rubber meets the road now, right? Cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
You can acquire cryptocurrency through a number of different ways. Let's talk about the easiest way in 2025, right? You can acquire by going on exchanges like Coinbase. Everybody knows about Coinbase. So we'll use that as the model here. But there's a number of different exchanges, just to be very clear. But Coinbase is a very popular one. You know, there's Robinhood that was made popular. But
what's a coin? When you said Coinbase, just again, let's assume folks are learning about what this is for the first time. What is a coin? What is it exactly?
It's an exchange medium or marketplace, right? So let's say you get stocks and you have a Fidelity account and you go onto your Fidelity account and you use it to purchase shares of whatever company, right? That's an exchange. You can use your Fidelity to operate within the exchange to purchase stocks. So Coinbase is your marketplace to acquire what is essentially shares of a cryptocurrency.
Buy and sell. You mean it's a place to buy and sell?
Yeah, it's buy and sell, trade, etc.
Okay, so let's talk about the investments, the ability of individuals to hide those investments when it comes to cryptocurrency, and you know the complexities in terms of how to divide them if you're talking about, you know, in the scope of a marriage or divorce case.
Crypto is very interesting, right? It's decentralized, and we know that. However, the one thing that is very important to note about cryptocurrency is that crypto, like Bitcoin, the most popular, is based on the blockchain, right? And I don't want to get too bogged down with the technicalities of it, but the blockchain is essentially a digital ledger. And it's a digital ledger that contains all of the transactions that has ever occurred on that blockchain, which means that any single person can go on and review the entirety of that digital ledger. So as long as you know the players, the transaction individuals, you can always see what happened on that blockchain relative to that person's ID number. So it's actually extremely transparent. When you talk about people trying to hide their assets in crypto, when you involve an expert that is knowledgeable in the space of cryptocurrency and the blockchain, you can't really hide your money.
But if you're talking about valuing crypto assets, and again, you just know what I read, right? On Monday, you have an account that's worth $1,000. On Tuesday, it could be worth $10,000. And on Wednesday, it could be worth $80. How do you value that for the purposes of an equitable distribution in a divorce case?
Yeah, it's very difficult. You know, when it comes to valuing cryptocurrency, the best way to think of crypto is an extremely volatile stock. Right? We've had cases that have stocks that kind of go up and down and up and down. And sometimes you just gonna have to hold your nose and pick a date and say, this is the date. Right. And then the agreement allows or disallows for, you know, market experience on that asset. Essentially, you could do the same thing, right? You could do the same thing with crypto and just hold your nose and say, it's going to be March 17th of 2025 is the date that we say, yes, person A gets half of person B's Bitcoin shares, and it is valued as of that date.
So if you're talking about negotiating a settlement in a divorce case, and it's easy to put a value on a house, we get it appraised, we know what the value is. You look in a bank account or a securities or stock account, it's going to, you know, it might be a market adjustment, or as we've had recently, there might be a precipitant, a terrible, but a drop over the course of a few days, but nothing to the tune of, you know, 90, 95, 80% in a day's time. So as someone who's representing a client and talking about how to negotiate things, do you pick a date when you get the value of that crypto asset, or is it a situation where what you really want is half the assets in the account, so then it's worth what it's worth?
Well, I think it depends on what the asset is, right? There is tons of different cryptocurrencies out there. I mean, the list goes on. You know, we all know about Bitcoin and Ethereum, but there's tons of other coins out there and other various different crypto assets. And I think that if you have on the other side or on your side, you know, a large amount of these crypto assets, you're going to have an expert in your corner. One, you know, a forensic analyst that has experience, you know, that understands the crypto, understands the blockchain, can evaluate what we're looking at, right? And my rule of thumb, David, is if you've got Bitcoin, let's just say you have Bitcoin and somebody has a lot of Bitcoin, you know, set aside the tax implications because, you know, certainly anything I say today requires you should have a tax expert on hand as well, right? Because there's a lot of capital gains considerations that comes into play. I mean, if you're one of those lucky people that bought Bitcoin in 2013, you know, you're talking massive, massive tax. So let's set that aside for a moment. What you really need is to look at, all right, I've got Bitcoin. Bitcoin's very, very different than, let's say, some other coin that is trading at $1, $2 a coin. And because you have to look at how many coins are in circulation, right? We know, let's look at gold, for instance, right? The old fiat currency backed on gold, like you said. Gold is extremely rare on Earth. That's what dictated its value. There is a set amount of Bitcoin that's ever going to be available. And as we continue to mine that Bitcoin, it becomes less and less and less available in the wild, right? And so that's going to dictate its value. So when you have a case that has Bitcoin, I'm feeling pretty confident that it's not going to go from what is trading, at least the last time I looked at it, at $84,000 a coin. It's not going to go down to 84 cents a coin. The chances of that happening would require probably every government on Earth to change its approach to Bitcoin in such a way that it kills all cryptocurrency. And I just don't see that as ever being possible.
So your client says to you, okay, so it's worth $84,000 a coin, and I want to buy a new house. Can she take her Bitcoin to buy that new house?
Well, you could cash it out. I mean, it's when it comes to getting Bitcoin in a divorce, let's say, yeah, okay, person A, I'm going to give you all the Bitcoin, and that's going to be the equitable way that we resolve this, you know, horse trading different assets. It's just like getting stock, right? There's going to be, you know, if the person wants to buy a house, they sell all that stock and take the cash out of the stock. You could take the cash out of Bitcoin. It remains to be seen if that's a smart financial decision, but
you're in a negotiation with your client. Your client's spouse has whatever they have in terms of Bitcoin, in terms of value. And your client says, okay, well, how do I get my hands, if I'm going to get X, whatever portion of that Bitcoin account, how do I get my hands on real money that I can buy groceries with? Because I can't buy groceries with some coin that only exists out on the cloud somewhere. How do you work your way through those types of issues with clients, particularly clients who are, you know, maybe in their 50s or 60s, who are used to carrying cash, much less using debit cards, you know? And so how do you talk somebody through that and help them understand what they can do and the benefits of dividing that particular asset?
Well, so this is when it's important to have a financial advisor in your team advising the client. Briefly put, you know, that person can take the Bitcoin and go to that Bitcoin exchange like Coinbase, Kraken, Bitstamp, whatever it may be, and they can just go ahead and withdraw their money. They can sell that Bitcoin on that exchange, and it's just like you sell your stock on Fidelity account, and you can withdraw that cash. You know, every different, you know, exchange is going to have fees, it's going to have processing time concerns, whatever it may be. And there's other alternatives too, right? Let's say you don't want to use an exchange. As crazy as it sounds, and I think that you may have referenced it at Safeway, there's Bitcoin ATMs. You know, you can go and you can withdraw cash instantly. But like any ATM, there's huge fees. You know, I don't think I've ever personally used an ATM that's not, you know, my bank ATM because of that. You know, the Bitcoin ATMs, they have wild fees. So you have to be careful about that. You know, this is going to sound even crazier, but some of these exchanges have debit cards, crypto debit cards that will convert it. Again, you've got to have consideration into the fees being charged. So there are ways to convert Bitcoin to usable cash, if you will. You know, I famously, what is it? Tesla. I mean, you could use Bitcoin flat out to buy a car with Tesla. And I'm sure there's other companies out there that are allowing for purchase of, you know, major assets using Bitcoin just flat out. Certainly not a house, right? But there's ways to convert your Bitcoin into usable cash, if you will.
Is there a benefit in negotiation, or if you end up having to try a case, is there a benefit, and if so, how so, in using someone like a forensic accountant type person that you might use in terms of valuing a business, in terms of tracing assets, and that sort of thing? How, if at all, would you use that type of an expert in negotiating and litigating a divorce case?
So it depends on, relative to cryptocurrency, it depends on how the crypto is treated by the other spouse, right? If the person was mining for Bitcoin, particularly in the earlier days, I'm going to go out on a short limb and say that you need to have an expert, right? That forensic expert is going to be able to identify how much resources, how many marital resources were dedicated to the mining of Bitcoin. And that in and of itself is a separate discussion of the process of acquiring Bitcoin through mining as opposed to just going on the exchange and purchasing. But at the basic level, the person is just purchasing Bitcoin on an exchange, you know, and you get the exchange statements that show the transactions that occurred. It's fairly straightforward. You can say, okay, on October 21st of 2021, this person spent $5,000 and acquired 0.0008 Bitcoin, right? And that's what the statement will show. Whatever the numbers may be, I'm using funny numbers, but that's what the statement will show. So it's actually relatively easy for the individual to analyzing your case to go ahead and track. All right, $5,000 of marital assets was used to acquire this specific amount of Bitcoin. And then it's just a matter of taking that specific amount of Bitcoin, plugging it into today's value on Google, and then boom, you have a present day value for the asset.
Okay. And what about prenuptial agreement? Is it something that can be the subject of what we're going to do in a prenup in the event of divorce?
Well, sure. Just like anything. I mean, you acquire, and again, let's set aside the mining for a moment. Anytime you're acquiring an asset with marital assets, what would traditionally be seen as marital assets, you know, that's subject to, I would say, prenuptial agreements. You know, you could say, hey, any money in X account is considered non-marital, and therefore any use of that money would be to acquire any asset. That asset would be considered non-marital. You know, that's an enforceable clause in a prenup, and I think that that would protect an individual's future crypto purchases if you had that type of clause.
Okay. So to sort of get our hands around the entirety of this discussion, when someone is considering separation and divorce, what are the key thoughts, the things that they should think about, the key considerations when it comes to crypto assets?
So if it is known to that party that, hey, I know that my spouse acquired crypto, and I know that they used Coinbase, and I know that they used Robinhood, particularly when it was popular in 2020 and 2021. If that's the case, you focus the analysis and the investigation. If you don't know what's happening with the money, then you're down in that road of a traditional forensic evaluation and investigation into the assets. Especially if, hey, you know, my spouse makes 15 grand gross a month, and we're scrapping by with what seems to be only $1,500 in the joint bank account. I can't understand what's going on. And it's not like he's out there buying, doesn't have a Porsche or a Ferrari in the driveway. So I don't know why there's not a lot of money. You know, that's when your senses start to perk up and you say, yeah, something's going on here, whether it's a stock or whether it's some other, you know, nefarious expense, or it could be crypto.
Mm-hmm. So you talked earlier about the concept of there being, you know, sort of no policing, there's no control. But folks do have to report if they sell and make profit, or on the other side, if they sell and take a loss when it comes to crypto, right? On their income taxes.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, at its core, the blockchain itself controls, it's self-controlling, right? Because the only way you acquire cryptocurrency is that there is input onto the blockchain. So let's talk about that just very, very briefly for the audience, is that, you know, you have a blockchain, each block on that chain is a transaction to that ledger that we discussed before. Mining is simply using processing power, a computer, usually it's now particularly strong GPUs or graphics cards, to compute very, very complex equations to solve that equation and verify a transaction on that block on that chain. The result of that, the incentive to use that processing power to solve that equation, is a coin, is a Bitcoin. And so the verification process is actually self-controlled in that way, and probably as secure and safe as you can possibly get. Far more than traditional fiat currency, which has always been subject to corruption. And so you have that as the basis. Now, of course, you're going to get government agencies that they want their cut. And so, yeah, you know, now there's restrictions, certainly SEC restrictions on Coinbase or Binance or Kraken saying, yeah, anytime there's a transaction, you got to let us know. I mean, I think it was, and don't quote me, but I think about 5 years ago is when the restriction on trades that didn't even lead to a cash transaction, meaning you sold the Bitcoin for cash, would have to be reported. But now it's even just any trades need to be reported.
So my point is, what you're saying is, while there's not the control that you have with the dollar, with the Federal Reserve, with the securities and so forth, there is oversight when it comes to what you're required to do if, in fact, you trade or exchange cryptological currency.
Yeah. I mean, once you convert it to their dollars, right, there being the government's dollars, they're going to get involved. You know, if you had Bitcoin from back in the day and you put it on a USB thumb drive for what they call cold storage, and you kept it in under your mattress, no one's going to know. No one's going to know about it. You don't have to report that. Well, I'm not saying this as a tax professional, but that doesn't get reported until it gets converted to that traditional currency.
Yeah, I mean, I've had cases, and you probably have also, where my client says, oh yeah, spouse has crypto. Well, where is it? He keep it on a thumb drive. And then you got to find the thumb drive and presume that the thumb drive that you're getting is part of the discovery process or is part of a document, you know, information exchange, is the actual drive in which everything is included.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that cold storage is meant to be very secure, private, and confidential. That's how it's designed. Of course, this is when a forensic expert is involved because, again, every transaction on the blockchain is reported on itself. You can't get it off of that thumb drive without authorization, which is why you always get these fun stories of people who lost their thumb drive. I mean, classically, the story of the guy who lost the thumb drive in the trash and went to the trash yard. And I think I just saw a story, I think it was last week or relatively recently, where now the attempt is to buy the entirety of the trash yard.
It's very funny because this is going to show my age a little bit, but along the same vein, several years ago, I represented someone who was married to, let's just say a military pilot who did a lot of off-the-grid type things for payments. And he hid money in those days, long before Bitcoin, and long before debit cards too, by the way, hid money in there. And they had a farm up in Western Maryland. And we followed him because we knew that he had cash because he told her that he had cash, but he apparently forgot where it was. And so when the private detective went up there to take a look and see if what was going on at this farm, there was about 500 mounds of dirt because he had forgotten where he had buried this cash. So, but it's kind of like the same thing, right? I mean, it's kind of, you got to pay attention to where you put, although you can track it, you're still going to pay attention to where you put it in order to actually get your money back. Right?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's pretty wild. I mean, I'm sure you've got that drawer next to your desk that has about 15 thumb drives in it, right?
Sure. I don't even know what's on any of them, to be honest with you. I'm looking right now.
And you never label them like you're supposed to. And so you end up sticking them in your computer and going through the tradition of seeing what pops up. And I guess somebody just, oh, yeah, that's the one that has, you know, now $1.5 million on it.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, okay. So if I'm someone who's thinking about separation and possibly divorce, and I know that my family, my spouse, has been involved in buying, selling, trading crypto, what ought I do in order to move the process forward?
I think you need to sit down and really think about, okay, when did they start acquiring? When did they start getting involved in crypto? I mean, if we're talking about somebody who is involved in like 2013, 2012, you need to sit down and think real hard about spending that traditional fiat currency on an expert to get involved, because you talk about risk versus reward analysis like I always like to do, like you like to do. That's when you see a pretty high reward in that case, right? Because you could acquire back in the day one Bitcoin for $200. You know, it doesn't take much to show how much $5,000 worth of Bitcoin in 2012 is worth today. And, you know, I've seen that case before. I was involved in a case like that. So that's when you use some practical sense of, you know, if a person bought Bitcoin, you know, in 2024, okay, well, how much did they buy? Like you could see on the credit card or the bank statement, you know, Coinbase transaction. However, if you are on your house and you know that, you know, your husband or your wife has a shed out back with a couple of solar panels on it, and they've got three computer rigs hooked up with about 15 different GPUs from 2020, you need to use your sense. And again, just like the 2012 purchases, you hire an expert that has actual experience with cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm. To start, before you pass go and collect $200, the first place to go, it seems to me, is to call someone like you who understands the intricacies of cryptocurrency, right? Get a lawyer, right? I mean, shouldn't they talk to somebody?
Yeah, you get a lawyer who there's some schools of thought on cryptocurrency, right? This it's almost like a stigma of cryptocurrency that, oh, I don't know what that is. It doesn't make sense. So as far as I'm concerned, it's not real. You know, I think we're well past the days where that's a kind of an acceptable approach. You have a lawyer that knows this is a serious thing to look at. And this very well could be the days of the house was the largest asset in a marriage. It's entirely possible. That's why I asked during every initial consult. You know, I ask about the house. I ask about the cars. I ask about the retirement and investment. And I separately ask about crypto, right? Because it is possibly one of the biggest assets in the marriage. And so you have to have a lawyer that's involved that respects what crypto actually is and what it could be.
So folks out there, if you're thinking of separating, if you're looking into the possibility of divorce, and particularly if you have an asset or a potential asset that involves cryptological currency, you're going to want to reach out to Chris Castellano. And Chris, how would they get hold of you?
Yeah, you can call me directly at 240-399-7881. You can find me on our website, JGL Law. I'd be happy to have a conversation about any crypto concerns you might have.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to pay you with a bullet cryptocurrency today. It doesn't have a lot of value, but maybe it will in a year or so. It's completely uncontrolled. So I hope you'll accept that as payment for your time today, if that's all right.
I'll take it. I'll put it on a thumb drive.
All right, fair enough. Folks, thanks for listening in. Please join us next time. I'm David Bullitt, and this is JGL Law for You.